Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And this week, we're going to be talking about a relatively familiar topic on the show, but it's one that's really not going to go away for pretty much ever at this point, and that is streaming sports and some of the storylines to look for and watch in 2019 and going forward, because I thought that would be kind of a fun way to start just what's our second episode of the year so far. But before we do that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. So we're going to start with a company that's not necessarily as well known as some of the other streaming firms at this point, but it's publicly traded, and that is Roku. And its ticker is just like the company name, that's R-O-K-U. And it's a streaming TV firm that went public in the fall of 2017. Roku sells devices and some built-in devices to televisions that allow customers to watch their streaming services like Netflix, Amazon Prime, all in one place. The California-based company's devices at this point are reportedly boast larger market share than rivals like Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and even Google's Chromecast. And this is according to market research firm eMarketer. So they're pretty big, relatively going kind of, I would say, less noticed as some of the other big streaming firms. So they grabbed some headlines last week because Roku reported some early Q4 operating metrics, and the firm said that its active accounts surged roughly 40% from the year-ago period to reach 27 million. And then in another sign that really this streaming age is only growing, Roku's total streaming hours skyrocketed approximately 68% to 7.3 billion. So this is really just showing how many people are watching streaming television, and it kind of is, once again, this is where we're headed, and Roku is a company that's quietly kind of built on this overall market. At this point, they also have done something within the last year or so, which is they've introduced their own Roku channel, which allows Roku users to stream movies and TV shows for free without a subscription. But it's an ad-supported platform, so if you have a Roku, you can watch whatever movies and TV shows they have on there. Just you're being served ads, and they're now selling advertisers and marketers the ability to target their users with some targeted ads. So that's another way for the company to make money going forward, for sure. And as I said, they're growing. So earlier this month, they've also introduced plans to let users, similar to what Amazon Prime does, is to be able to purchase other apps such as HBO Go or Amazon Prime, stuff like that, through their app. So it's unclear exactly how much of a cut they're going to take from this, and they haven't made deals with the companies like Netflix or Hulu to actually purchase within the app. But they have made deals with Showtime and Stars and Epix as of early January. So we'll see what happens with that going forward. But it's another revenue stream that Roku is going to be able to cash in on for sure. And at this point, they're really not a huge sports streamer at the moment. It's not like you could cut your cable subscription and just go on Roku and be able to really watch all the sports you want. But you do have access to ESPN, NBC Sports, all of that stuff. But once again, you have to have these subscriptions through a cable provider for those channels as well. But going forward, they do have the reach with all of these Roku TVs that are doing so well and these Roku devices that are relatively cheap, that they could start to make deals with sports companies and leagues going forward. So this is certainly a company to watch out for. I want to just throw out some of their Q4 estimates, our Zacks consensus estimates. I can never say that word. Tongue twister. Are expected their Q4 revenues to climb roughly 40% to about 261 million. So it's still a small company, but 40% revenue growth is what's expected in the fourth quarter. So that's pretty solid going forward. And then right now, despite last week's pretty huge climb, their shares climbed 25% in one day after they announced some of those early Q4 metrics. The company sits roughly 50% below its 52-week high. So it closed trading Friday at $39.57 a share. So that's a solid buying opportunity for anyone who's interested in Roku, maybe at this point as the streaming market really comes back. You have Netflix reporting their results later this week. So once again, the streaming market is really growing, and Roku is a company that you could maybe see start to expand going forward as they do well and get just into more households through these built-in TVs and their devices. And now I want to move on to another company that made some announcements last week. And that is a company that's more well-known, but it's still not as big as you might assume based on how well-known it is, and that is Hulu. They announced recently that they added 8 million subscribers in 2018 and closed their fiscal year with more than 25 million total subscribers across their subscription service as well as their live TV plans. And this marked a 48% expansion of their subscriber base. So pretty huge there for Hulu, and obviously still way smaller than Netflix and Amazon Prime, which both have over 100 million subscribers. The company's revenue, it's still private at this point, the company's revenue, advertising revenue jumped 45% to roughly $1.5 billion, and it increased its advertiser base by 50%. And then I just wanted to pull a quote from Hulu's press release that kind of shows what I'm talking about in the sense that why live sports matter so much, because Hulu has expanded their live streaming capability, so you can now cut the cord pretty much and be able to watch a lot of the live programming, news, sports, and all of that that you would have expected on your cable subscription just with the Hulu live services. But in their press release, they said that one of the more notable viewing trends Hulu saw in 2018 was that consumers place a great deal of value in having comprehensive, flexible viewing experiences. That seems pretty much all too obvious. And then viewers who subscribe to Hulu Plus Live TV, which is that live TV service, spend 50% of their time watching on-demand or recorded programming. So even these people that have subscribed to get this live TV service are spending more than half of their time watching on demand. So this is what everyone who's watching Netflix and Amazon Prime, once you go there, if you're not a user of those platforms, it is hard to watch commercials once you're so used to watching commercials that really sports, once again, is going to be one of the only things that people are going to tolerate because it's the only thing that needs to be watched live. And I can't press that point enough going forward. And as I said, Hulu, unlike Roku, it really does allow people to cut the cord pretty much at this point, just cut it completely and still get access to their live sports. And Hulu's pitch really to attract users, one of the main things they're talking about is saying you can still watch your live sports if you switch to Hulu Live TV. It's the first thing they mention on their website when they're pitching it. It's watch your favorite live sports. That's the first thing they said. And then they say news and entertainment, blah, 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 blah. So it's $39.99 a month for this access to basically what's live TV on a streaming platform. And as I said, it's live TV or live sports is one of the last things that's keeping people tethered to cable at the moment. So Hulu is certainly one of these companies that's it's capitalizing on this going forward. And for those of you who don't know, I want to touch on a little bit. Hulu is a private company, but it's owned by huge, huge publicly traded companies. So at this point, it's jointly owned by Disney, Comcast, and 21st Century Fox, each holding a 30% stake in the company, while AT&T has a 10% stake. But Disney is set to take 21st Century Fox's 30% stake when their deal to purchase a huge amount of 21st Century Fox assets goes into play. So then Disney would own 60% stake in Hulu. And CEO Bob Iger of Disney has really placed a decent amount, and this is publicly, I don't know internally exactly what's going on, but publicly he's said that they're going to really try to use Hulu to their advantage. It's one of their, quote, biggest priorities in fiscal 2019, and this was from a recent Disney earnings call. And it'll be really interesting to see what they do with Hulu, because at this point we know, or at least a lot of people know, that Disney is going to jump headfirst into their own Disney Plus streaming platform, which is going to have their Star Wars, Pixar, Marvel, Disney Studios stuff, and then even new original content as well. They've also already rolled out ESPN Plus, which is their kind of pared down, less everything that's not massively important to ESPN, so huge SEC football, Monday Night Football, NBA basketball, big time college basketball, all those other sports, lower level college sports, esports, UFC, soccer, that's all on ESPN Plus for now, and that is has nothing to do with cable. You can get that right now for $4.99 a month. So it'll be really fun to see if somehow Disney packages something together where you could get Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus kind of all in one bundle. Because as we've talked about this on the show, and I've talked about it with my producer Danny a bunch of times, that it sounds cheap, like you're saving money to cut the cord at this point. But if you're an HBO subscriber, an Amazon Prime subscriber, a Netflix subscriber, and now you're going to be a Hulu subscriber and a Disney Plus subscriber, and when Apple rolls out their streaming service, it, all of a sudden that's going to add up to be you're paying just as much as you were for cable, if not more. So Disney could certainly have an advantage if they choose to maybe bundle this package going forward. So that'll be an interesting story to watch. And then certainly just to see what ESPN continues to do with this ESPN Plus service, which has performed relatively well so far. And I was certainly a skeptic, to say the least, at the beginning, but the service has performed well. But one thing Disney won't have to hang its hat on when they roll out their larger streaming push is they will not have regional sports networks. It was one of the big things that regulators in the U.S. required Disney to divest. So they've had to divest these huge Fox regional sports networks. And there was the thought not too long ago, even as late as December, that Fox would simply turn around and buy back their regional sports networks. They were selling Disney kind of on the cheap because Disney's not got as much bang for their buck as they were hoping. They were hoping to have people pay a premium for these regional sports networks, but no one's really come out and paid over the top. So Fox, there was a point, as I said, where people thought Fox was going to turn around and simply buy these back. But last week it was confirmed, relatively, it's not, nothing's actually confirmed, but the company noted in an SEC filing, and I'm just going to read this, Fox confirms that it does not intend, so it still says intend, to bid for any of the Fox regional sports networks that Disney or any entity operating on its behalf may sell as required by the consent decree with the U.S. Department of Justice. So they're saying we're not going to buy back our own regional sports networks. So we'll see where these huge regional sport networks end up, because even though no one's willing to pay a premium at this point, they certainly are still very valuable, especially when you consider that of these 22 channels, some of them include huge markets like New York City, Los Angeles, and they've been valued at a total of roughly $25 billion. But it seems like from some reports I read in the Wall Street Journal that they'll fetch more like between $16 and $20 billion total, depending on how they're sold, if they're sold in a huge package or kind of on one-off situations. But at this point, it is certainly still worth pointing out that the YES Network, which is the network the Yankees are on in New York City, that aside from ESPN, cable subscribers are paying the most to own or be able to watch the YES Network. So it's still, these regional sport networks are really valuable. If you ever have any free time, just go look up like baseball ratings, even though baseball is supposedly a dying sport on the national level. If you look at baseball ratings in the summer in the huge markets, maybe 15 of these markets, it's pretty much the top show in all of these markets throughout the whole entire summer. So there still is a huge business opportunity behind this for marketers and advertisers, which will certainly be key going forward. And then speaking of baseball and huge markets, we're going to get into a little bit more of the future looking slash speculative part of the program, which kind of will help encapsulate what we're talking about in this streaming 2019 future and beyond. And that is, the Chicago Cubs are reportedly ready to start their own Chicago Cubs network. That would be a standalone network that you'd have to subscribe to. They are ready to move on. They reportedly did not renew their deal with NBC Sports. And this is from the Chicago Sun-Times, where the other big Chicago major league teams have re-signed deals. They're going to be ready to let their deal expire at the end of the 2019 season, so this upcoming season, and are ready to team up with Sinclair Broadcasting to create a, quote, marquee new Cubs network. So it'll be interesting to see how that fares. It's the Cubs are obviously a huge team in Chicago, and they have had a huge national fan base for a long time because of WGN America. But this will be a fun test case to watch if the Cubs roll out their own network, because you could see it being something that would be easy to add to, say, your Amazon Prime. I'll buy the Cubs network on my streaming service, or on that they're looking to the future now, it seems like, for the Chicago Cubs, that they're saying, hey, we're just going to own the rights ourselves. It's just going to be us. And then really, they'll have all this negotiating power as all these services roll out, that, hey, maybe all these different companies will be bidding for us, and that we'll be pretty much be able to be in anyone's home who wants it that has a streaming service. So it'll be fun to watch that going forward. And then I kind of want to just talk a little bit about some ideas that have been floating around, and some ideas I thought of some storylines to pay attention to going forward that have to do with streaming, and then also some sports gambling. So you could easily see some gambling companies buy up some small sports media rights going forward. This could be esports, which I haven't heard as many people talk about betting on esports. I don't exactly know the logistics of that, but I'm assuming that it's a sport. No one knows the results before it starts, so why not bet on it? It's growing hugely, so you could see maybe a company like DraftKings or William Hill do deals with esports companies where they're owning the rights. Or even maybe in this more streaming future, that a company like DraftKings or something buys the streaming rights for a local MLS team in a specific area, something like that. And this is clearly all speculative at this point, but it's really very feasible in the not too distant future, if not in the next couple years. And then also, it wouldn't be shocking to see media companies start to acquire some of these gambling sites, and certainly up and coming startup gambling sites, as the rate of sports betting acceptance and legalization in these states has been relatively quick. We're already at 8, and people say within the next couple of years it could easily be over half of the United States has legalized sports betting. So there's just going to be too big of a market for these companies and media companies not to at least partner or try to acquire some of these smaller gambling companies. And then a company to watch out for, which has been written about and talked about a little bit, but I haven't heard it that much, and that is a streaming company called DAZN. That's how they're pronouncing it. But if you read it in print, it's just capital D, all capitals. So it's capital DAZN. So they're, and then they're pronouncing it DAZN. It was first introduced in Austria, Germany, and Switzerland in 2016, and it's now available in 7 markets, and it began offering a $9.99 a month streaming service price tag in the U.S. Late last September. And at this point in the U.S., it is pretty much just a way to watch boxing. Commercial-free streaming service, so their pitch is DAZN is a new way to watch fight sports, over 100 fight nights a year, plus exclusive behind-the-scenes coverage, plus original programming, minus the BS, and this is all from them at that $9.99 a month price tag. So they have some, Bellator boxing, just different combat sports, that aren't hugely mainstream at this point. So if you're a huge boxing fan, maybe that $10 a month price tag is good at this point. But what will be interesting going forward is that at this point, John Skipper, who used to run ESPN, is heading the company, and he's going to try to actively expand their business in the United States because they've already expanded relatively significantly in Canada. At this point, they have in Canada, DAZN has the rights to NFL Red Zone, Champions League Soccer, Serie A, La Liga, which is Spanish League Soccer, Serie A's Italian League Soccer. They got MLS coverage, some MMA. And then they recently even acquired some Major League Baseball rights, and they got English Premier League rights as well in Canada, which is really a big deal. So in Canada, this is growing pretty quickly. If I lived in Canada and they had access to all of that, I would certainly think about spending the what's in Canada. It's a $20 a month price tag. $150 annually. So it's a little bit more expensive, but you're getting a lot more access to some relatively huge, massive, important sports for non-American sports fans, certainly, to say the least. But going forward, John Skipper spoke to the Wall Street Journal a couple months ago and was really talking about how they want to compete, not necessarily with big companies like ESPN for rights, but do maybe smaller rights or joint streaming rights deals, like how Amazon got the streaming rights for Thursday Night Football while Fox got the actual broadcast rights. And then Skipper and DAZN are reportedly ready to make some big pushes into international soccer in the United States and maybe even get some Bundesliga rights, which is the German soccer league. So slowly just building up their lower level, quote unquote, lower level sports streaming rights here in the United States as they grow and try to expand their audience base. So that's another company to definitely pay attention to going forward in this more niche and massive streaming market, because this is certainly a time where you'll have access to just to more. And if you want access to some random sport most people don't watch, some streaming service that you'll easily be able to pay for will certainly offer it to you. And I want to close with just a little bit more of an overarching quick picture of the companies that are also involved in this streaming sports future. So obviously you have Twitter, who's looking at all times to boost its live streaming sports presence and just live streaming in general to attract more advertisers. You have Turner's Bleacher Report, which really is doing well with their streaming rights. They have the Champions League rights here in the United States. They're affiliated with Turner, so that's the NBA as well. So they have NBA League Pass streaming. They're now experimenting with these micro payments where you can pay for the fourth quarter of an NBA game, which you'll certainly see maybe more of these companies and leagues do that going forward. You could see a company like either Fox or maybe ESPN Plus jumps into one of these newer football leagues that's coming out within the next couple of years. The XFL is coming back next year for anyone who forgot. So that's Vince McMahon's second time, who's the WWE owner and president, the second time around with this football league that's coming out after the Super Bowl in 2020. So someone's going to scoop up the rights to that this year. Those rights are not sold yet. So you could see maybe ESPN Plus in a splash, tries to get these rights to maybe just get people to at least try it out for a month to see what the XFL is all about, and then they end up liking the app. So you could see that going forward. NBC Sports is still experimenting with all of these more niche sports. They bought the rights to this new lacrosse league that's starting. They're having a snow-based sports package exclusively that people can buy on digital platforms. And then obviously you have the big, really tech giants lurking in the background. You have Google's YouTube, who's still really, they have YouTube TV. That'll be a player going forward for sure, no matter what happens in this streaming revolution. Facebook is actively buying up live sports rights and will certainly be around no matter what has happened with the stock price in the last year. They'll certainly be around for a long time. I mean, they have 2-point-something billion users. It's just the crazy amount of people. They're gonna be able to do pretty much whatever they want going forward in this streaming world. And then obviously a company that I've talked about a lot, and one that certainly could be a major player, is Amazon. And I could continue to talk about the streaming push, in especially streaming sports, for a really long time. But I thought this was a fun episode to kind of speculate and look ahead at some of the companies to watch in 2019 and some of the storylines to follow in 2019 and going forward. But until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.